allows you to access your desktop from any device, anywhere. InvestorBooks Pro System with Tenant Tracking, InvestorBooksPro.com. Email and text your residence a monthly bill for next month's rent. Effective, interactive, free website that allows for online resident-only page, online rent payments that are direct deposited into your bank account, contact office form can be used for anything, repair or maintenance request form. Chapter 13. You really can teach pigs to sing. Back in the day, my wife Tammy frequently reminded me of one of her favorite phrases she claimed she discovered in a Beatles song years ago. The phrase was, "Never teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig." Most of the time, she's right. But on occasion, I'd hear one begin to hum a tune. Case Study 1. Inherited tenants you intend to keep. As an aggressive investor, I was buying and buying and buying property. I had the opportunity to purchase 4 single-family, shotgun-style houses from a slumlord. This guy never did anything properly. He replaced broken furnaces with used furnaces, and it reflected in the quality of his tenants. Joe was his name. Joe used to tell me one of his favorite investor truths was the properties you were most embarrassed to admit you own were usually the properties producing the most cash flow and profit. Perhaps for Joe, but his program is not for me. I negotiated a pretty good deal with Joe on these 4 houses. These houses were all in a row on the same street and had his tenants in them. Horrible. We put the deal together and scheduled the closing. In the meantime, we moved forward discussing the arrangements with his existing tenants. Joe informed me he had to stop by every Saturday morning knocking on their doors to collect rent. I boldly told Joe, "I'll never knock on their doors to collect rent. These tenants will mail their rent payments monthly." He then gave me a thigh-slapping, huge, gut-wrenching belly laugh, and then another one saying, "They will never mail their rent. They don't know how." Joe told me he'd had these properties for 20 years, and not once, never, ever, has any of his tenants in these 4 houses mailed their rent. He promised me this could not be done, but he still wished me good luck, grinning his butt off. Step 1. Before closing and before purchasing the properties, I made 4 copies of my Inherited Tenant Information Sheet and New Tenant Packages, which include move-in inspection form, rental agreement, lead-based paint pamphlets, and so on. The purpose of this meeting is to have a thorough cleansing from the previous landlord and transition these folks 100% into my system. But what if they have a signed rental agreement or lease with the previous owner? Use your great people and communication skills. It simply takes the agreement of both parties involved, the landlord, owner, you, and the tenant. Both can agree to terminate and kill the existing agreement effective on a specific date. You can both enter into your rental agreement with a new effective date. The exception would be any kind of government program such as Section 8. You would be forced to step into the owner's shoes. I would have their folders and clipboard and visit each tenant. These tenants did not have telephones or cell phones, so I had to stop by unannounced. The purpose of this meeting was to gather information from each tenant about the property, their past financial relationship with their landlord Joe, to verify such things as rent, security deposits, and so forth. You must do this before the closing, allowing you the opportunity to take it up with your seller, my Joe, before buying the property. So much easier to work these bugs out on the front end than after your closing. For example, suppose a tenant says they have a $600 deposit paid to the landlord, and your seller says they've got a $300 security deposit. Wouldn't it be best to discover this before buying this property and tenant? I stop by and visit each tenant to identify myself as the probable new property manager. Here's their opportunity to vent and blow off steam about anything they choose, including the soon-to-be previous owner. Remember, these folks don't need an application to rent from you. They're already in the property. Letting these tenants vent will give them the opportunity to feel important and valued. They probably haven't been treated this way in a while. While you have them eating out of your hand, you complete all of the paperwork to transition them completely into your system, including your new rental agreement. At this time, I school them on our great new program for them. I let them know they'll get a bill from our property management company mailed to them on the 20th of each month. Inside will be a monthly statement detailing charges on their account, an envelope already addressed to mail their payment, and a monthly newsletter just for them with all kinds of tips and coupons. Here comes their static. They might start bucking. They never mailed their rent before. Joe always came back and collected weekly or several times a month. I tell them this will never happen again. You must mail your rent payment. Hold their hand mentally. Let them calm down and show them how easy this is for them. Nobody will knock on your door early on Saturday morning. You can sleep in now. All you have to do is get some stamps. You can get them at the grocery store. Put your money order or check into the envelope and take a clothespin and clip it to your mailbox. Your mailman will pick it up. You don't even have to go to a mailbox. Some of these tenants balked, stating they have no bank account or they don't get their check till the third of the month. Rent is due on the first, period. Guess when it's late? It's late on the second, period. Late charge, 10% of the monthly rent. Daily late charge, $5 a day. Here's how I handle those wannabe problem children. Suppose you acknowledge their checks come in their mailbox on the third. You offer a simple solution. Remind them they will get a monthly bill again. It's mailed to them on the 20th. Tell your tenant to put their payment in the envelope and mail it before the first. We use the postmark date on their envelope as the payment received date. This does happen. I do receive payments in the mail on the 3rd and sometimes the 4th with a postmark date of the 1st. This means no late charge for the tenant. No competent judge in any court will not use the postmark date as a payment received date. This totally eliminates those stupid tactics on the part of tenants trying to mail a check-in on October 5th and they've handwritten September 30th on their rent check, thinking it will prevent a late charge. Back to the tenant who gets their check on the 3rd of the month. I tell them to put their payment in the envelope and mail it in before the 1st with a note, please hold till the 3rd. If we receive their payment with this note before the 1st, they will not be hit with a late charge. This works great. Joe saw me a few months after I bought his houses and asked how things were going. He also asked me how I liked knocking on their doors weekly to get the rent. I told him I've never knocked on their doors and they're mailing their monthly rent payments in like instructed. He was shocked and didn't believe it. He went over to see his old tenants to verify my story, and they told him the same. Joe thinks I'm the best landlord on the planet because he sure would have bet $1,000 I could never get these tenants to mail their rent payments monthly. So yes, you really can teach pigs to sing. Case Study 2. Inherited tenants you want out now. No need to make this difficult. The current tenants and occupants have your seller pulling their hair out. For whatever reason, you want these tenants gone and gone now. They don't fit into your program for whatever reason. Here's what I've done many times. First, you must coordinate your activities legally and safely, so you never throw out money before you have control and own the property. One of the worst mistakes you could make is to take your expertise and make their problem tenant leave quickly before you buy the property. You might have just fixed their problem for them and they may change their mind about selling you the property. You made it nice again. So just be careful doing this before you actually buy the property. You own the property and you want to get these idiots out of your property fast. You have two avenues to get them out. One, figure out how to do it yourself. Two, use the court system with attorneys and legally evict them. I can tell you that option one is the better one for you. Option two can be very expensive, making money for the attorneys, dragging out your access to the property. You can't start working on it and your overhead meter is running. Taxes, insurance, and they're just making the property worse. Plus, you can bet they're going to leave you a huge mess when they finally get evicted. How much money, time, and effort will you be out with Plan 2? In my town, I could easily be out $1,000 to get these idiots out using the court system. Here's my solution. After you buy the property, stop by and visit these idiots. As hard as it may be, bite your lip and try to be real friendly while maintaining your firm professional attitude. Here's how the conversation goes. Hey, Billy, I have a deal for you. Can I talk to you a minute? Billy, even if an idiot, will usually agree to this one. Here's the deal, Billy. My name is Mike. I know you and dumbass Tom, your seller, aren't getting along at all right now. But I don't have any problem with you at all. Can you understand this? Billy may start to blab about Tom. Don't tell him to shut up. You'll piss him off too, just like Tom did. In fact, it would do you some good to agree with Billy by shaking your head in acknowledgement of his situation. Let Billy vent a while, continue calling him by his name, and then tell him about your deal. Here's your deal, Billy. First of all, I have no issue with you at all. You understand that, right? But I've bought this property, and I've got plans, and unfortunately, you're gonna have to move. We can do this as friendly folks, and I can help you out, or you can choose to make it difficult, and you and I will both lose, and the attorneys will win. They just want to always make a mountain out of a molehill and make us pay for it. So here's your deal in a nutshell, Billy. I can give you money to help you with your move, or I can let the attorneys have your money. Are you interested? He'll say, tell me more. Here's the deal, Billy. If you get all of your stuff, and I mean all of your stuff, out of here by 4 p.m. on Saturday, have it broom clean with all your trash hauled off and not stacked up anywhere, I'll give you $600 cash on the spot. All you've got to do is call me and let me know you got it done. I'll show up here to see you've really done it, and you'll get your money, no questions asked. This might help you get a truck or help you with getting a new place. Most of the time, Billy will jump on this. He might say 4 p.m. on Saturday is impossible. Acknowledge it and ask what will work for him. You want this to be a win-win situation. Suppose he says 4 p.m. on Monday will work for him. That's still good, and I'd remind him, remember, Billy, this means nothing in here. Broom clean, no excuses about anything. All out, all gone. Not a chair left behind or even a fork. You got it, and do I have your word on it? If Billy agrees to this, I've never had one not do as agreed. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Correspondence is now 100% digital. Since you are using the tenant tracking system, billing your tenants monthly, this sets the stage for you to incorporate written correspondence into your program. It's amazingly simple to implement once you start billing your tenants. You're already emailing them a monthly statement, and many times when they mail their rent or pay online, they scribble some kind of a note. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is normal. I'm guessing perhaps one or two out of 100 tenant payments will contain a written note of some kind. Anything from a complaint, a work order request, or information they deem important for you to know. The important thing is you did not waste time on the phone, and now you have it in writing. Use your received date stamp on their written notes and attach it to their tenant record. Late notices. Most states require a specific pay or quit possession notice of X number of days to be given to tenants who haven't paid their rent. Do it right and legally in your town. It will save you a lot of grief. Tip. Most states include language stating if a landlord accepts any partial payments of rent after the landlord has started the eviction process, the accepted partial payment of rent will kill and cancel the landlord's pending eviction action. Therefore, we don't accept partial payments once the eviction process has started. Also, as part of training your tenants, suppose a tenant has a monthly rent of $800 and your late charge is 10%, or $80. Using my tenant tracking system of billing our tenants, a chronological order of events might occur like this. August 20th, 2018. Rent for next month, September, $800. Balance, $800. September 2nd, 2018. Late charge, $80. Balance, $880. September 3rd, 2018. Payment received, minus $800. Balance, $80. September 20th, 2018. Rent for next month, $800. Balance, $880. Now, if this tenant mails in a payment of $800, for example, and we receive it on the first or before, we will refuse their payment and return it with a late notice and a late charge. You must stick to your guns and be firm, fair, and friendly. If you accept the $800 payment when you mailed them a bill for $880, you are training your tenant this behavior is acceptable to you. Don't do this. It might be difficult to get started, but it works in the long run. Touché, Tammy. As you can see, on occasion, I can train a pig to sing. Resources needed. Email. Text messaging. Mighty Text is a good free app to text from your desktop, laptop, tablet, and smartphone. Tools needed to go paperless. Online fill-in-the-blank forms on your free OnCarrot website. Smartphone apps to take photos, videos, and scan items to PDFs. Tenant tracking allows you to attach items to each tenant record. TeamViewer.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, and smartphone to access everything on your desktop. All you need is internet access. Chapter 14. Digital Work Orders and Repair Requests. Always instruct your tenants to go to the residence page on your website. On your website, they can fill in the blanks and attach photos of their repair requests. When they hit the submit button, it is auto-emailed to you. Now you can attach everything in this email to their tenant record in your tenant tracking company file. Work orders are your golden opportunity to have your handyman, service technician, and all of your licensed trade vendors to be your eyes and ears. Groom them to be observant and look for things that don't look right. Here's what is required of all of my work orders. It does not matter if it is in-house or assigned to a vendor. 1. Clearly spell out what is needed of repair. If there are 3 tasks in the request submitted by your tenant, you must authorize or approve each of the 3. 2. In your work order, do not write a month-long paragraph or story to give instruction to the person who will be doing the repairs. Here is what my work orders look like. Tenant reports blah blah blah. After this, you will enter each of the following tasks. 1. Kitchen. Sink does not drain. Repair properly. 2. Bathroom. Faucet constantly runs. Repair properly. 3. Bedroom. Second floor. Electric outlet does not work. Repair properly. Now this is very easy on the eyes, and whoever is doing the work order has a very clear understanding of what needs to be fixed. On top of this, whoever does this work order must take photos of front of house, rear of house, working smoke alarm, furnace filter, if dirty, replace, if missing, replace, both are tenant chargeable, before photos of items in need of repair, after photos of items repaired. Photos of anything that will support tenant chargeable items, such as pulling out grease or toothbrush, fork, knives out of clogged up drains. Photos of anything else that is out of order. 3 pit bulls chained up in the basement. Dope growing in the attic. Piles of garbage and trash in the backyard. Grass too tall and more. As you already know by now, all of this gets attached to the tenant's record in your tenant tracking company file. Remember, you can attach photos, PDF, audio recordings, videos, scanned anything, etc. Your tenants may freak out when photos are taken. Don't worry, this is normal. Your service person can simply tell them this is required by the insurance company now. This is new to your tenant, and they will get in the groove in short order. Every work order should also be treated as an inspection of your rental property. If your service person has properly documented rental agreement violations, you can email them your legal form giving them notice of lease violations. In my town, they have 14 days to fix the violations or we can start the eviction process. True story. I had a great tenant who called us 3 days in a row that her toilet was not flushing. For the first 2 days, I created a work order and Dan did the work order. When she called the 3rd day with the same request, she said liquids, peeing, the toilet worked fine, but when she took a dump, it would not flush properly. I told Dan to remove the toilet from the floor and see what was clogging it up. Dan found a ham hock bone wedged in the toilet. When he tried to remove the ham hock bone, the toilet cracked and broke due to the ham hock bone wedged in the porcelain toilet fixture. The tenant then told Dan she had dumped her bean soup in the toilet. Holy cow, Batman! Absolutely tenant chargeable. All 3 work orders, labor, and a new toilet and parts. Total to charge this tenant was $475. She did not have $475 to pay right now. You must understand this, too. It is up to you to create a win-win situation for you and your tenant. Here is how I made this tenant-caused repair a win-win situation. We put the tenant on a monthly payment plan and financed the $475 owed by the tenant. I set up monthly payments of $100 for 6 months because we were financing it for her. Or you could set her up on $50 monthly payments for, let's say, 12 months. She was happy and thrilled with her very affordable payment plan program. Work orders, repair and maintenance requests are a golden opportunity for your service people to be your eyes and ears, because they are basically doing an inspection for you on the exterior of your rental and the interior as well if the item in need of repair is inside their home. Always follow up with a simple survey, an online fill-in-the-blank form asking, was the work done in a professional, timely manner? Have your repairs been completed properly? Add any other comments. Of course, this gets auto-emailed to you. This is also a great, powerful tool giving feedback to you and your service staff. Implement this properly, and it quietly causes your service people to do a good job because they know you are sending a follow-up survey. Share these follow-up surveys with your service technicians. In my business, I encourage all of my staff to get good, high-energy, exciting videos of folks telling the world why folks must rent a Vista home. In fact, all of my staff get a $25 bonus if their video is good enough to put on our website. Tell your staff this is a promotion you are offering to them. When you get enough good videos, you can turn off this program for a while. Good stuff. While on this subject, think about social media stuff. Encourage all of your residents and prospects to share their five-star experience with your company on Google reviews, Yelp, Facebook, and anything else that your kids or grandkids would use to check out a business to see if it is good or bad. Resources needed. Smartphone. Open camera free cell phone application. Note, this camera cell phone app allows you to put a name, date, and timestamp on every photo and video if you choose. PDF cell phone app to add text and signatures to the PDFs. Chapter 15. Removing bad apples. Just like computers crashing, a tenant or their occupants dealing dope is simply a matter of when it will happen to you and not if it happens. There are no boundaries in the arena of drug abuse. Although the media tries to portray it occurring primarily in low-income neighborhoods, dope is everywhere, and dope dealers are part of our society at all levels. Your rental properties are not immune. I don't care if the rent is $100 a month or $15,000 a month, dope dealers are active in all areas. This dope-dealing animal is something that can sneak up on you. You can have the best tenant screening program in the world. However, tenants are people. People have relationships. Some work out and some don't. Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, and many other talk shows have made fortunes capitalizing on the hidden aspects involved in relationships. Why are your tenants any different? They are not. A tenant can start off down the right path with you, have a falling out with their significant other, and get swept off their feet with their newfound significant other of the month. Because your tenant has a good track record with you, you may or may not be aware that the old significant other has moved out and another has moved in. Your good tenant is responsible, has a job, handles responsibilities properly, and shows no signs of any pending or brewing problems. The point I'm trying to make here is no landlord is immune from having dirtbag dope dealers as tenants. Therefore, this is for all landlords of A, B, and C quality rental units. Next, you get the dreaded phone call or a note from the good neighbor of your tenant in apartment 3 who, confidentially, reports the tenant in apartment 2 is dealing dope. If the landlord doesn't fix this problem yesterday, they will be moving out. This is contagious. If this information has made its way to you, you better believe it has saturated the entire building. You should thank this good tenant for letting you know. This tenant lives close to the dope dealer. I'm shocked at how landlords ask this good tenant for their help. Landlords repeatedly and unwittingly drop in on the good tenant who gave them the helpful but bad news. Never ask your tenant who gives you this information to help you by putting them out front as the source of reporting the suspected illegal activity. It took a great amount of courage and loyalty to you for this good neighbor to inform you of the problem. The easier path for your tenant is to simply move away from your building. If one tenant is reporting this to you, you better be aware that many more good tenants are fed up, scared, and ready to move at a moment's notice without any visible action on your part to correct the suspected dope-dealing problem. The challenge. Finding something to evict a tenant suspected of permitting dope-dealing is a monumental task. dope dealers usually have cash. In most states, it takes 2 months or more to forcibly remove tenants from a unit without a legal challenge. This is way too long to satisfy your good tenants. They will be gone before the bad apple gets evicted. Let's run the numbers with a standard eviction process. First, if the bad apple is paying rent on time, you must find another reason to evict them. Assume they are on a month-to-month lease. Isn't it fair to assume 2 months might be average before they are 100% gone and you have possession? This means a minimum of a month of ugly, and they will not pay rent if you are pursuing legal action to make them move. There is a month's rent in the balance. How many good apples may take action and move because they see no visible action on your part to get the bad apple out quickly? Now there is month number two of rent, along with two vacancies and tenant turnovers. Yuck. The entire eviction process costs are usually in the neighborhood of a month's rent with attorney fees, court costs, sheriff department fees, and the labor costs involved with the physical set-out or removal of their personal property from your unit. All combined, it is fair to assume at minimum, with this traditional process, you can expect to lose up to 3 months' rent, along with two vacant units and a reputation in the neighborhood of the building that has dope dealers. Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. Take action the right way. After evaluating and verifying the information received from your good tenant is true, it is time for you to take action before the bad apple ruins the whole bunch. Remember the 3 months' rent. Do not forget it. Listed here are some tips you may put in place. Each depends on your comfort zone. I have used all of these in certain situations with good results. These tips are presented in a smorgasbord fashion, and you may select the best approach for each situation as you see fit. The objective is to get the bad apple out fast while preserving the good apples. Stuff to do. Always record all communications with problem tenant. Hit them in the face with a 2x4. Confront them face to face and ask them to move. This takes some skill and tact. My background is definitely helpful using this tactic. There are some do's and don'ts. Never accuse them of dope dealing. In fact, don't even mention it. Never drop in your good apples, your tenants who told you what is going on. Present yourself as a problem solver, helper, and the solution for their problem. What is their problem, you might ask? Well, it's just not working out. They may respond, how or what? Your answer again is, it's just not working out and I want us to settle up on good terms. Avoid setting the stage of getting into a debate or he said, she said story. If you know for a fact 100% sure that traffic in and out of their unit has increased, then you may choose to say, I've noticed a lot of people in and out causing disturbance to your neighbors. This is a delicate statement because it can open a can of worms and they may ask you, when did you see this? If you know your stuff, you can recite it back to them, but be careful using this one. Offer a win-win solution for the bad apple with a comment like, look, it is not working out, and I have an opportunity to help you, allowing us to settle up on good terms. If we are both stubborn and attorneys and the courts get involved, we both lose, and the attorneys win. They try to make a mountain out of a molehill. You find a place to move into and be out of here by next Saturday, select reasonable time, and have this place broom clean, and I will pay you X dollars. I usually gear it toward a dollar amount close to a month's rent. Bite your lip. Do not allow your principles to confuse you about good business sense. If you can pull this off successfully, you win big time across the board. You have removed the problem. Good tenants label you a hero. You saved 2 months' rent and more. No eviction headaches or attitudes. Preserved the integrity of your building. It takes special people skills and tact to use this action properly. If you have a quick temper, are hot-headed, and have no patience, you may want to avoid this face-to-face procedure. You must appear firm, fair, friendly, and helpful to the bad apple, regardless of the level of your blood boiling. Effective results with police. Yes, still do the traditional call your local police department, and in larger communities, phone the narcotics unit. But let's put a different twist on getting effective assistance from law enforcement. Many large apartment communities offer free rent or discounted rent to a police officer to live in their apartment community. This is nothing new and happens all the time. The real problem with this scenario comes from the police officer. These types are generally hungry for money, fairly new, and are not homebodies. They work as much overtime and off-duty jobs as they can find, resulting in very little visibility in your building. After determining prime time for the suspected dope-dealing activity, make it a point to inconvenience yourself for a little time to contact the officer who rides the beat of your problem tenant during the hours of peak activity. For example, if you learn peak activity is Friday and Saturday night between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., which, by the way, is a very busy time for uniformed police, you should make arrangements to meet the officer who rides your beat during his scheduled shift. Ask to meet him somewhere other than your rental property. This does cause you an inconvenience, but sure demonstrates to this officer the seriousness of your concern. Never tell the officer he or she has a problem at your property. Police are people, too. Many taxpayers talk down to police officers with comments such as, "You work for me, I pay your salary." This sure flips on the us and them mindset and you have already lost. Believe it or not, most police officers really do want to help. If this is a motivating factor to be in this occupation, use it to get results for you. Start your conversation with an attitude of, "I need your help, I have a problem." Do more listening than talking. The more you let the police officer talk, the more they will like you and want to help. If you do all of the talking, you will feel better and they may be tuning you out. They hear this stuff all the time. Be patient. As a rule of thumb, the longer you let them talk and demonstrate their knowledge to you, the more apt they are to offer out-of-the-ordinary assistance to your problem while working their shift. Your property will get extra attention and patrol. Do not ask them to ride by, stop by, or sit on your property. The challenge here is to get the officer to offer this to you as a way for him or her to help. Let it be their big idea to help you, and you say, "Wow, thank you." Offer the police officer a way to contact you if needed. 90% of the time they will not call, but offering your 24/7 availability means a boatload to the officer working the late shift and shows your level of concern about the problem. Offer your cell phone or home number confidentially. These are some ways to get your tax dollars at work to help you solve the problem of the bad apple. If you have a C or C-minus apartment and you are taking action to improve it to a B or B-plus property, an effective and cheap tool is to make some no-loitering, no-trespassing signs and position the signs in visible locations on your building and premises. Before doing this, make sure to contact your good apples and ask for their assistance. Explain to the good apples, once the signs are in place, they too cannot hang out in the parking lot or porches. A short-term sacrifice on their part now can help run off the bad apples now. When peace and tranquility return to your property, no one will complain if peaceful people are loitering on their porches. David Alexander with BanditSigns.com is a great resource for all of your signs of any kind. Hiring off-duty police. Many landlords have been encouraged to hire off-duty police. Many communities have take-home cars for their officers. Be careful. This off-duty income opportunity for officers is greatly abused. Many schedule several off-duty jobs at the same time. For example, construction site A, shopping center B, and apartment community C are all paying for an officer to patrol their property between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., and the officer schedules all three jobs during the same hours because they are within 3 minutes of each other. I am not anti-police. I am pro-police, retired myself, and have two little brothers who are police officers. I have seen all of this firsthand. Empty car, a different twist. If your town has take-home cars for officers, and if your peak activity of bad apple activity occurs after the sun goes down, contact an officer who works the day shift. Tell them you have a unique opportunity for them. Work out a deal to simply park their marked patrol car overnight, right square in front of the Bad Apples unit. This can be done a whole lot more cheaply than having an officer sit in the car. The results are usually spectacular. Who wants to go buy dope from somebody with a marked car parked at the front door? You might get an officer to sit in the car for $25 to $50 an hour, and you might get the car for a whole night for $50 to $100, depending on your negotiating skills. The hidden benefit here is your good apples see immediate action on your part. The bad apples' business should immediately begin to suffer, and they should get the message to move on down the road. Technology. In addition to assistance from on-duty and off-duty law enforcement and no loitering signs strategically placed on your buildings, technology can be a great and inexpensive tool as well. Lighting. I put lighting in the technology department because of big drop in pricing of LED light bulbs. They claim these bulbs will last a lifetime and are super cheap on using electricity versus standard bulbs and floodlights. Thugs, dopers, and bad people are like roaches. Remember walking into a dark house, turning on the lights, and watching the roaches sprinting to go hide from you? Well, the same is true for these kind of people who hang out around your apartments. Lighting up your apartment building, porches, and parking lot is one of your cheapest and most effective ways to battle the hood rats. Combined with the signs, and most of the time, this is enough to eliminate your bad news people. Both lighting and signs will also give you another benefit. Your great residents will love their property manager for making them feel valued and important. Next up, video cameras are cheap. Not the camcorders you see in the retail stores. I'm talking about CCTV cameras. Check them out on the internet or simply use any search engine. Entire video systems with recorders sell for less than $300. Put them up high on corners of buildings. Protective weatherproof and bulletproof casings are available for them. In addition to the no loitering signs, add premises video recorded 24 hours. Yes, this takes some effort to start up, but today you can get cameras that are 100% wireless and self-powered for a year or more with long-lasting batteries. Figure 15.1 in the bonus PDF shows the sign I put up on my buildings. Let your local law enforcement know about your effort and action of installing cameras. Your good apples will see your action. It will hurt the bad apples' business, but it will also be your powerful tool to prevent new bad apples from landing in your units. Here in Louisville, a creative take-charge investor has a number of units in a high-crime area. After learning of a similar situation in a visit to Chicago, he became involved with a local cable TV company, receiving not only permission to use their cable to be the conduit for transmitting the video images to the recorders placed in the office, but the cable company also installed the video cameras on the utility poles. With the new technology I do not understand, police officers can use their laptops in their car to dial up specific cameras to view. The point learned here is you may not have to burden all of the expense yourself. Maybe your cable TV company, phone company, or other utility may agree to contribute resources to help the community. Resources needed. LED light bulbs. Smartphone app, ACR, all call recordings. Smartphone voice recorder app for face-to-face conversations. Email. Text. BanditSigns.com for signs to mount to building. Chapter 16. Mike's move-out system makes you money. I imagine this. Your resident has given you notice they will be moving. First, find out why they're moving. Job relocation, divorce, downsizing, upsizing, etc. If these are great tenants, do your darndest to move them into one of your rentals to keep your great tenant in your rental portfolio. If you cannot accommodate them, your next step is to pull the trigger on using your move-out package and system. You send them the move-out package by email and text. It includes 4 pages in PDF format. Page 1, Notice of Receipt to Vacate. This package acknowledges your company has received their notice of their intent to vacate the premises, and it gives them a short synopsis of what to expect. They are very concerned about getting their security deposit refunded to them, and this is addressed in page 1. Also, you give them the opportunity to earn some huge bucks, referral fee, for cooperating with you in finding your next great resident. Page 2, Move-out Instructions. Page 3, Price List for the Most Frequently Charged Items Resulting from the Move-out Inspection. Page 4, A Simple 4-Question Survey. Use this system properly and your moving out resident will make your rental rent-ready while they are paying you rent. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it works. This is amazing and will slash your turnover costs. I can't tell you how many times our residents who are moving out have the place immaculate and a lot more than just broom clean. Turnovers are by far your biggest expense. The fewer you have, the more money you will make. Once I figured out how to use this system properly, it is working like a champ. Even folks getting evicted are sent Mike's move-out package, and almost all of our evictions end up being broom clean, with very little to do to make it rent-ready again. As an aggressive investor, landlord, and property manager, I watched my real estate very intensely, like a sharp business owner. I began studying the big picture. Where was I making money? Where was I losing money? How could I increase cash flow and profits? How could I reduce expenses? It didn't take me long to discover tenant turnovers, and the move-out process was cleaning my clock. In fact, just like you, I'd been shocked at how some of my great tenants crapped on me when returning possession back to us. It was mind-boggling. Why and how was this happening? Well, it causes me to remember when I, too, was a tenant. My first apartment was just a few blocks north of Churchill Downs. This is not a good neighborhood, but I didn't know this when I was 18. This first apartment was originally a three-bedroom shotgun-style house. The landlord chopped it up into one-bedroom junky apartments, and he would pay the utility bills. He owned the house next door and did the same thing. He was so tight, he used one 30-gallon hot water heater for both houses. That's right, one water heater for all six apartments. My first exposure to tightwad slumlord landlording. I rented this junky trap for $30 per week, including utilities, while I worked part-time at Winn-Dixie stocking shelves at night. My furniture consisted of milk crates, bricks, and boards, along with a little black-and-white TV. When I became full-time, I got my butt out of there fast. I was moving up to a nice apartment with curtains on the windows. I can remember being so excited to get out of that apartment that my energy and focus was to get out of there as quick as I can and give him the key so he could get it ready to rent again. This is what our tenants do to us. They simply don't know any better. We are the investor, and we assume they should know what to do. Have you ever given them instructions? Because I was getting my clock cleaned with tenant turnovers, I created and developed a system to nip this nightmare in the bud, too. The result is my move-out package. It's a four-page package mailed to your tenant upon receiving notice that they wish to move. You should also use it on your tenants getting evicted because they're moving, too. Do not balk at the idea of a referral fee. Do you want to get the property rented quickly and have your tenant contribute their efforts to accomplishing your objective? A referral fee is an easy price to pay. After you complete the move-out inspection using your move-out inspection form, use the included summary report and office checklist to cover bases properly. These are simple and they work great. As a last resort, included is a return possession without inspection form to use when a tenant wishes to return possession on the spot. If you have an office, use this form if they stop by the office unexpectedly to turn in or drop off their keys. Without an office, simply put this form on your website, keep it as a hidden page, and simply text the link to them when this happens. Although you have good planning and organizational skills, there are always exceptions to every rule. You will still receive a phone call from a tenant informing you they have already moved out, or the tenant with an eviction pending with no hope. The eviction pending tenant may contact you to report they are out, or you may encourage them to move out a little sooner. When these situations arise, use this last form to properly document that they have returned possession to you. Tip: send move-out packages upon receiving notice and again 7 days prior to the move-out date. Send to your tenants with an eviction pending. They are going to move too. Tenants with evictions have followed the move-out instructions. Good luck, Mike Butler. Section 4. Master these to maximize your income and profits. Chapter 17. Marketing makes it happen, not advertising. Operating a successful rental property business requires effective marketing. You can do this very cheap, even close to a $0 budget for advertising. Here's my top four marketing must-haves for your rental business. 1. Referrals. These are by far your number one source of effective marketing. Let your tenants, your sellers, your buyers, your real estate agents, your attorneys know you rent homes and buy houses. Offer to pay them a referral fee, if legal in your state, if a referral becomes a tenant or a deal. 2. Business cards. Get 1,000 thick, double-sided, color, glossy finished for $25 with free shipping from ZooPrinting.com. 3. Website. Get one like mine plus all kinds of free investor training, $49 a month. 4. Yard signs. Corrugated plastic 24-inch by 18-inch, $10 each. Buy 100, approximately $3 each. Onesie-twosie are about $10 each. Marketing is your big, powerful word here. Simply put, it is everything you do to promote your business and generate leads. This does not mean you have to spend money. Advertising, on the other hand, usually involves paying for a product or service. Referrals. Use your cell phone and capture videos and photos of super excited and satisfied customers, residents, sellers, buyers, and so forth. You can put them on your free YouTube channel within your Google Gmail account. Referrals are old school and new school and work in any town and in any market. Before we jump into marketing with today's market and technology, let me give you some proven, simple, and almost free things you can do to promote your business. Old school. Proven and simple homemade yard signs, even the generic ones from Home Depot and Lowe's. Second is your tried-and-true homemade, created by you scribbling with a big Sharpie, or flyers or brochures you make on your home computer. Use the flyers to promote your vacancies, and just flood your neighborhood grocery, laundry, car washes, and more. Social media. I am not an expert on this stuff. I still frequently call Facebook, Bookface, and YouTube, TubeU, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Snapchat. But this much I do know. Social media is huge, and it's free. When you see on every TV channel, radio station, newspaper ads, restaurants, retail stores, everywhere you turn, we are bombarded with all of the social media icons to follow us on this social media or that social media. My daughters are experts on this stuff, but I truly have a long way to go before I really get it, and that's fine with me. I will probably end up hiring a person to do only social media stuff for me sometime down the road. Many investors have a Facebook thing for their real estate business and treat it like a website. Yes, it is free, but I have not figured out how it will replace a truly effective interactive website for your business. As far as I know, you cannot put fill-in-the-blank forms on your Facebook page. In the arena of social media, ask your kids, grandkids, or great-grandkids to do it for you or teach you. I am not your go-to guy on this one. The one thing I can tell you is that works to get as much of your good company stuff on the internet as you can and keep doing it on a regular basis. Business cards. Almost always, this is your first marketing piece you will buy. You can get 1,000 of these high-quality, thick, glossy, two-sided color with free shipping for only $25 at ZooPrinting.com. Many folks also use Vistaprint.com. What is the purpose of your business card? No, it's not about letting them know how to contact you. The purpose of business cards is to be a lead generator for your business. You have about 2.5 seconds to grab the attention of anyone who sees your business card. Here's what they say when they see your business card. What's in it for me? If your business card does not loudly scream a benefit to the person looking at your card, you lose. You must be unique, creative, and craft a simple, short slogan explaining the benefits for your target audience, motivated sellers if you are buying, prospective tenants, and more. You must have a call to action. Tell them what to do, simple and straightforward. This could be a free report, free video, audio, and so forth. Shown next are some examples of my business cards that I tried to make them scream the benefits for the person reading them. The older ones are far from perfect. I really like my business card for my education and mentoring business. In today's world, here's what to include on your business cards. 1. First and foremost is your company slogan. A. Put some serious thought into this. Don't just do a quick knee-jerk slogan. Run it by your family members, friends, and folks you trust. Does it loudly scream exactly what your business does? 1. Mike's real estate business slogan. We buy houses, we rent homes. 2. Buy, sell, rent, trade. 3. Best realtor in Mayberry. 2. Use simple, easy-to-read fonts like A. Arial, B. Trebuchet, C. Even Comic Sans. D. Do not use artsy-fartsy fonts. These are very hard to read. Blackadder, Brush Scripts, Edwardian. C. Do not try to have a funeral home wallpaper background with very light-colored fonts, shown in the bonus PDF as bad background and fonts. 3. Check these out and ask yourself, what's in it for me, in the bonus PDF. Notice the QR code. Open the QR Code Reader app on your smartphone and scan the QR code with your phone. It's the small postage stamp size image of weird lines. Now imagine a prospective tenant holding your business card. They will know exactly how to scan this QR code. Do a little test right now and check it out for yourself. The preceding cards are effective and they work. Jiru is my in-house leasing agent. Then there is the business card I use today for my education and consulting business, which is located in the bonus PDF as Business Card Today. After this book is published, you'll see the second edition book photo on the backside of my business card, also located in the bonus PDF as Backside of Business Card. Peel and Stick Business Card Magnets. You can buy these in packs of 10 or 25 at Office Depot, Staples, and Amazon. It's 10 times cheaper and more effective than buying custom-made magnets. You can put one in your new tenant welcome package and slap one on every fridge you come across in your day-to-day activities, especially of those folks who want you to buy their house. Website. You must have an effective, interactive website in today's market. No exceptions, no excuses. There's no need to have 25 separate websites, as many experts try to persuade you to have. One for buyers, one for sellers, one for tenants, one for private lenders, and so on. You can do it all on one good, properly structured website. You can get America's best website for real estate investors, Trevor Mock's Investor Carrot website, for free when you join our Gold membership at mikebutler.com/join. Interactive means folks who visit your website can do stuff versus just looking at your business card or billboard in the cloud somewhere. Things to have on your website to make your life easier. Make them pay your application fee before they get to your online fill-in-the-blank rental application. When they hit the submit button, it is auto-emailed to you. A clean, simple homepage that is easy for your website visitors to navigate. Take a look at the homepage of Google.com and you will see exactly what I am talking about. On my homepage is a summarized list of available homes for rent. You can check it out at fistickky.com. Check out the navigation bar showing a page for residents and buy my house. Do you print flyers for your available homes list? Simply print this home page and it is already set up as a flyer for you. It lists all of your available homes and if they want more details and photos, they simply scan the QR code already contained in your home page. Take good quality photos. This is one of the hardest challenges for many real estate investors, property managers, and realtors. Most have a very hard time taking good photos. The biggest blunder happens on taking photos of the front of the house. They stand in front of the house and take a photo of the front wall of the house. This is wrong. Using a typical house in a subdivision, you would stand at each corner of the property line and take a photo. In my police world, we called this four corners. And this phrase is also used involving documents when trying to use them as ammo or proof when you step into the world of legal stuff and the courthouse. In the bonus PDF, there is an excerpt from my simple 18-page guide on how to take photos, videos, and the four-corner photo shoot. Shown in the bonus PDF is part of the one-page, 159-point rent-ready checklist showing the simple, short cheat sheet on how to take photos and videos. Take a look at these two photos to drive this point home, found in the bonus PDF. Next up is making your photos web-ready, which basically means the resolution setting on your cell phone photo app for pixels/resolution should be 640 by 480. Most cell phones do not have a resolution setting this low. Open Camera is the smartphone app that allows you to use this low-res setting. This works great for putting your photos on websites, emails, flyers, and your move-in inspection photos. Do not allow your phone to use the default resolution settings of a gazillion billion pixels. This causes the file size of your photo to be humongous, and it takes up a lot of space on your phone and website. Most of the time you can't upload large photos like this because of their size. To make this simple and easy for you, everyone in my company uses a cell phone app called Open Camera. You can find it on Google Play, and the icon can be found in the bonus PDF as Open Camera icon. Remember to turn on the date and timestamp feature inside this cell phone app. Always use the 159-point rent-ready checklist, a simple one-page checklist, which contains a short cheat sheet on what to take photos of and how to take photos and videos. Make sure your unit is clean and bright, no tools, ladders, or other stuff in the background. Make sure the toilet lid is closed. Turn on all the lights you can before taking photos. Try this on for size. Also open the kitchen cabinet doors, especially the ones under the kitchen sink, and take photos under the sink, showing it is pretty bright and clean. The same applies to bathroom vanities. You will be killing three birds with one rock. Photos for your website, photos for move-in inspection, and accurately documents condition of your property. Let's pretend your mom lives in Mongolia, and she wants to move back home to be closer to you. She has asked for your help in finding her a home to rent, and your mom will be making her decision based on your photos. Now take your photos with this mindset. You will take several photos from several angles of the kitchen and bathroom. Plenty of photos of bedrooms, hallways, laundry area, basement, garage, and several photos of the exterior of the home from many different angles. If you do it the right way, when you carefully take these photos, you can use them on your website, and you can use them to document the condition of your rental when attached to your move-in inspection form. Include a Google interactive map. Doing this allows your website visitors to zoom in and out of the map, enlarge the view, add satellite imagery allowing a view from a bird's eye in the sky, and now you can even drive down the street. Incredible, and it's all free. List of available homes. Include a summary list of available homes on your homepage, including links to get all of the details, amenities, and more detailed photos and videos. Always include several links and images with links to apply online now. Can't find what you're looking for? Has been set up as a property on my website, and believe it or not, we get more paid applications for this than probably all of the others combined. It is unbelievable. This is also a callback form where the prospective tenants complete a short, simple fill-in-the-blank form telling us what they want and when they want to move. When someone submits this callback form with a requested move-in date of 30 to 60 days from now, these are the ones you want to hang on to. Most of the time, these are very responsible people, just like Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show. When this happens, many times I have gone out and bought a house that fits what they are looking for. Stay in touch with them weekly. FAQ page. Most websites have them. Take a look at this page on my website, and you will see how it is a huge time saver for you. If you are answering your phone from all folks interested in your vacant rental, just think about all of the same questions they ask and your almost canned, sound like Charlie Brown's teacher response. This is brutal. Put every question you can imagine they might ask on this page. Your benefit is huge. Now, when and if they ever call, it's a simple short question, or they want to make arrangements to see the inside of your rental. You can also add audio clips and photos to this webpage. AudioPal.com is a great free tool to add audio. Showing vacant units. We do not show homes in my business, and you should do the same. First up, let me show you how we do it. Then I will share how to do it if you do not have an office. I do it this way. The prospective applicant has to travel to our office and fills out a one-page key sign-out form. Then we make a copy of their valid photo ID and they give us a $20 key deposit. This is powerful, folks. Why? Because this is the first step in pre-screening and pre-qualifying a prospective tenant. Here's how you can do it if you do not have an office, even if you are out of town. Your prospect sees your yard sign or visits your free investor on Carrot website. Odds are they will call you while in front of your vacant rental. Tell them to go to your website and click the button to view a home, which takes them to the very short and simple fill-in-the-blank form, which is basically the same thing as my key sign-out form. Your prospect completes the form and uploads a clear, crisp, readable photo of their valid photo ID or driver's license and a selfie photo standing in front of your rental unit. This photo must match their valid photo ID and you must be able to see your vacant rental in the background. This completed form is auto-emailed to you. If everything appears legit, you can give them the access code to view the inside of your rental unit. There are several ways you can make this happen. Here's how this is so possible.